never been afraid. I'm not talking about the scary movie afraid, but a deep down gut-wrenching fear. The type of fear that makes your heart leap into your throat. The type of fear that makes your hair stand up in the back of your neck. A paralyzing fear. I work in a 10-story building, and some time ago, I had to work there on a Sunday, and I, for all that I knew, was by myself. I was the only one in the building. It was a large building, no security guard. There were no cars parked around it or in the front or the back. I was alone. You know, when you concentrate on work, you tend to shut off your surroundings. You tend to focus on what you're doing, and you really don't pay attention to what's going around you. That's what I was doing when a loud noise suddenly crackled through the room. I felt my hair bristle. I felt my breath leave me. It was as if my heart had stopped. And it's as if my heart had stopped for a second. Fear had gripped me. What is this emotion that we call fear? Perhaps the synonyms that are listed in Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, may shed some light on this emotion. It defines fear as dread, fright, alarm, panic, terror, trepidation. Fear is an emotion that can reach into the depth of our spirit. It can cause us to think irrationally. It can cause us to act unexpectedly. It can freeze every muscle in our body. And while these are unpleasant things, there is an aspect of fear that is far worse and has far worse consequences. We can read about that in Revelation. Please turn to Revelation 21, and we'll read verses 7 and 8. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful and unbelieving. Why is fear locked in with these other abominations like lying and murder? The Bible plainly teaches us that we must fear God. How do we reconcile this? First, let's clarify one thing. Is it wrong to be fearful? Why does this verse imply that a normal human emotion is enough to keep you out of the kingdom of God? When other verses we're told, like in Proverbs 9:10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and in Philippians 2:12, that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's take a closer look at the word used in Revelation 21:8. The word translated fearful comes from the Greek word delos, which means timid. This Greek word is found in only three verses, here in Revelation 21:8, and also in Matthew 8:26 and Mark 4:40. These verses in Matthew and Mark describe one of the miracles of Jesus Christ. Turn, please, to Mark 4 and begin in verse 35. Mark 4:35. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, care not you for that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Christ was chiding the apostles, the disciples, because they were exhibiting a normal human emotion. Or was he? Let's notice a few points about this scripture. These were small boats. Here were a group of men in a horrendous storm, and the boat was filling with water. It seems to me that the disciples had every right to be afraid. If you remember, according to Revelation 21:8, this fear is called Delos, and it's a fear that keeps you out of the kingdom of God. Christ actually clarified why this fear is wrong. Read again the latter part, or verse 40. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The problem wasn't that the disciples were fearful. The problem was that they had let the fear affect their faith. They let their fear drive them into inaction. Their fear made them cowards. Yet after this incident, we read in verse 41 that they feared exceedingly. Now this particular word, fear, is from the Greek word phobia, which means to be alarmed, to stand in awe, to revere. This incident reveals yet another duality in the scriptures. The Bible is filled with dualities. We have the Old and New Covenant, the first and last Adam, worldly sorrow and godly sorrow, worldly love and godly love. This incident recorded in Mark reveals a worldly fear and a godly fear. Worldly fear is a dangerous fear because it affects our faith. We can look at the parable of the talents to get an illustration of the difference between worldly fear and godly fear. If you'll turn to Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25, and we'll start in verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid. Now, was this a godly fear? This man definitely revered his master, because this is the word phobos here. And went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have that is yours. His Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and slothful servant, you know that I reap where I sow not, and I gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. Now, was the wicked servant punished because of his fear? Don't you suppose that the other two servants were just as fearful of their master? But the wicked servant let his fear affect his actions. His fear made him faithless. This is made clear by the praise given to the other two servants. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Notice those two things. The servants acted. They did well. And second, the servants were faithful. The wicked servant let his fear prevent him from obeying his master. It kept him from keeping his master's commandments. His fear caused him to sin. We're familiar with the these verses in Ecclesiastes 12, 12, and 12 through 13. I'll just read it real quick. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Man becomes whole only when he reveres God, and that reverence is shown through obedience. The fear of God has to be accompanied by obedience. The fear of God must produce faith. It is not enough to fear God. That fear must lead to action. So we see that fear in and of itself is not bad. It is a normal, self-preserving human emotion. However, when that fear affects your faith and keeps you from obeying your God, then that fear is bad. That fear will keep you from God's kingdom. There's no place for cowards in the kingdom of God. To be sure, we have much in this world to be afraid of. We see our country that is morally bankrupt. We must now even fear little children, some of whom would take our life without a second thought. And now we must live in fear of terrorists who would kill us, who would take our heads, who would disgrace us. We are now nearing the time when this great country must fall into captivity, a time when we may have to give up our lives because we are Christians. We live in a fearful junction of time. But God warns us not to let our fear drive us into inaction. We shouldn't pace back and forth, wringing our hands, saying, "Woe is me." We must not bury our talent in the ground because we are afraid of this world. At this time in history, it's imperative that we fear God and keep his commandments.